Good morning and welcome to our Easter services at MCC Online. We are so happy that you can share in our worship time and our praise time together today. Whether this is your first time with us online or if you're continuing to join us for worship, thank you for connecting with us as we continue doing church together. We're doing it together in our homes all across our town and our nation during this social distancing season, and we appreciate your part in all of that. And let me say again, I know many of you are watching this morning whose church may not have the ability to provide an online service, and we're so glad you've joined us today. We pray that you will be able to worship with your church family again soon too. I know how much you miss them. And if you're watching this morning and you don't have a church home, we certainly invite you to continue worshiping with us online. And when we are able to get out and about again, we want to encourage you to worship with us in person as well. We would love to show you why MCC is a great place to be loved and experience Jesus. Pastor Jeff, this is by far the most unique Easter Sunday service I've ever been a part of. How about you? I want so desperately to be with each one of you. I want to greet you at the door with a hug and a handshake. I want to meet your friends, especially on this Easter Sunday. But it is what it is for now. You see, if our God can raise Jesus from the dead, He can and He will see us through this. The Christian faith is not all about arriving somewhere. It's not just about destinations. I think it's more about the journey. And I'm glad we can take this journey together. Pastor Jeff, did you hear about the business executive who thought he was so important the world just couldn't turn without him? He boarded an Amtrak train in New Orleans to Washington, D.C. was the route. He was a heavy sleeper and he needed to be awakened in time to get off the train in Atlanta, Georgia. He had a very important meeting, and he was very important, and it was important that he be there. He knew the train would arrive in Atlanta about 5 o'clock in the morning. So he found a porter, and he told him, "I want you to wake me up in time to get off the train in Atlanta." He admitted to the porter, "I'm a heavy sleeper, so it doesn't matter how much I resist or fuss or what I do to you, I have to get off this train in Atlanta." He then went on to say, "Even if you have to remove me bodily, you get me off this train in Atlanta." Well, when he woke up, it was about 9 o'clock. Realizing he had slept all night and missed Atlanta, he found the porter and he really poured it on him with rather abusive language and threatening gestures, almost to the point of attacking him physically. And after this public tantrum, someone said to the porter, "How could you stand there and take that kind of abuse from that man?" The porter just shook his head and said, "That ain't nothing. You should have heard the man I put off the train in Atlanta." In our lives, many of us fail to get off the train at the right station along the way sometimes. Now and then we miss the train altogether. Too many people, I'm afraid, miss the train when it comes to the gospel. And that's where today's message comes in. We are concluding our sermon series, Close Encounters. It's about people who, along their journey, had a close encounter with Jesus, face to face with Jesus. Throughout the centuries, Bible scholars and theologians, Bible students and professors alike, as well as many great preachers, have agreed that the Emmaus Road account is one of Luke's most exquisite literary achievements. It's one of the most vivid and insightful accounts of our Lord's appearances after His resurrection. Luke is the only gospel writer to include this story, and Mark kind of makes a vague reference or comment that may be referring to this instant as well. But the journey to Emmaus is both a literal and a spiritual journey. On one hand, it recounts the story of two disciples who, after the crucifixion and even after the resurrection now, are walking from Jerusalem to their village of Emmaus, not understanding anything. On the other hand, it outlines for us the journey we all take. The journey from not recognizing Jesus to understanding what the Scripture says about Jesus, to recognize Him for who He really is, and finally to giving ourselves to Him and our witness to others of all that we have learned and experienced. So turn with me this morning to Luke chapter number 24. Hold that in place in your Bibles. We'll look at that together in just a moment. I want to briefly give you the context of this story. Jesus has been crucified. He has died. He has been buried behind a sealed and guarded tomb. And He has risen from the dead. Hallelujah. Now, there are many post-resurrection appearances, and this is just one of them. He shows up on the road to Emmaus, a small town about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and He catches up with two disciples on their way to Emmaus. They're discussing the events of the past several days, and Jesus asks them, "Well, what are you talking about?" One of the disciples was named Cleopas. The other's name is not given. Some commentators believe it was Cleopas and his wife, but we don't know. As Jesus walks up to them, and I don't know if he was wearing a hood or something or whatever, but they didn't recognize him. And he says, "What are you talking about?" And they say, "What are we talking about? Where have you been? Have you been under a rock these last few months and weeks? We're talking about what everyone is talking about. We're talking about Jesus of Nazareth." They explain how they, like many others, thought Jesus was the promised one. But He died. And now no one knows what to do. And Jesus, right there on the road, says, "You don't understand the Scriptures." Like Adam and Eve in the garden, He walks with them and He talks with them. He even goes home with them at their invitation and He teaches them from the Scriptures. Talk about a face-to-face, close encounter with Jesus. This is it. But they didn't get it. So let's look at our text. Luke chapter 24, begin reading with me at verse 13. Now, that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus Himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing Him. Underline that. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still. Get this kind of shocked feeling about them. They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked Him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened in these days?" "What things?" Jesus said. You kind of get the feeling Pastor Jeffy's toying with them. What things? About Jesus of Nazareth, they replied. He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what's more, it's the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning. Now, we know they did that to put some spices on the body because they hadn't been able to do that yet. They went to the tomb early this morning, but they didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Wrap your head around that. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and they found it just as the women had said. But they did not see Jesus. Now, notice how they knew what had happened. They knew the facts. They just didn't know how to put all the pieces together yet. Verse 25. He said to them, Jesus said to these two walking on the road, "How foolish you are. How slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself." What a conversation that must have been. Verse 28, as they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us. It's nearly evening and the day's almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Underline this verse. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him. And he disappeared from their sight. What an ending. Verse 32, they asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together, and they were saying, "It's true, the Lord has risen and he's appeared to Simon." Simon has seen him now. Then the two told what had happened on the way to them and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. Let that float through your mind for a minute. That whole scene, put yourself in the middle of it. And notice with me this Easter Sunday, three things from this passage. Now, there are many, many more things in here. But this morning, let's just look at these three. First of all, I want you to see that Jesus seeks us. Although the disciples knew who Jesus was, they didn't recognize him. They knew a lot about him. They had been witnesses to all the things that had happened in Jerusalem. They had heard, no doubt, on many occasions, the things Jesus had testified about himself. Yet they were not able to recognize Jesus when they met him. And I think there are several reasons for that. First of all, God didn't want them to recognize him. Not yet. Our text says they were kept from recognizing him. God had a purpose in blinding their eyes from reality for the moment. Jesus is not being cruel here. His gradual revelation of himself allows them to learn certain lessons about understanding the scriptures and about trusting God's promises. The disciples have been told about these things and these events that had just taken place many times growing up in the synagogues and even walking with Jesus throughout his ministry. But they hadn't believed in it because they hadn't understood it. If you recall, many times throughout Jesus' ministry, he told those he had healed not to tell anybody. He knew if people only knew him as a healer, they would be bringing all the sick to him to be healed, which they did and which he was glad to do. But he never wanted his healings to get in their way of understanding who he was and why he had truly come to seek and to save the lost. And he was right. That's exactly what happened. John tells us he came unto his own, and his own received him not. Not as the Messiah. God didn't want them to recognize him yet. Secondly, I think they couldn't recognize all this. They were still confused, their minds blurred, because events had not happened as they expected it to. They had a preconceived idea of who Jesus was and what he had come to do and how he should be doing it. But when things did not turn out like they thought they should, they dismissed the whole thing as a colossal failure, as misplaced hope and trust. Now listen carefully. While God always has a plan, we are not always privy to it. When things don't turn out like we expect, instead of giving up and admitting defeat, perhaps we would be wise to look at things differently, to see if maybe God is up to something we simply don't understand. This pandemic, for example, this is not the Easter service we had planned for, is it, Pastor Jeff? I suspect this is not how anyone pictured Easter Sunday would be. Worshiping from home instead of church. Wearing casual around the house clothes or even our pajamas instead of that new Easter dress or new suit. Sharing communion together, but so far apart. However, this is a door God has opened for us to reach even more families through the technology that just a few years ago wasn't even available to us. We can rejoice in the midst of many disappointments, including this one, because if it's all worth it if we can reach just one person we otherwise would not have reached before. Didn't work out the way they want it, but it worked out the way God wanted it. This may not be everything we wanted Easter Sunday 2020 to be, but with His help and following His leading, it will be everything He meant for it to be. Thirdly, they had little faith. They had heard the reports of the women who went to the tomb that morning. They said an angel said Jesus was alive, but they didn't see Him. John 20 says their report was, they have taken the Lord out of the tomb and we don't know where they've taken Him. There's that infamous they again, Pastor Jeff. They. They say. I've heard. Who are they and who are you hearing this from? Well, there were the other disciples who ran to his grave. They saw the stone removed, the guards were missing, the tomb was empty, and grave clothes in the tomb, but they didn't see Jesus. And yet for all they had seen and heard, they still couldn't believe that Jesus was alive. The supernatural working of God to raise Jesus from the dead was outside their way of thinking. It seemed impossible. And even though Jesus had told his followers many times this was going to happen, they had never really seriously considered it would literally happen. We need to be careful we don't make the same mistake. To discount what God has done or is doing or can do simply because we cannot explain it or understand it. While God often uses natural things to accomplish His will, He also does things we can neither explain nor understand. These two disciples and others knew something had happened. But it was beyond their level of faith to see things as they truly were. Without seeing Jesus, all these other things added up to a simple conclusion that somebody removed His body. No one was shouting hosannas and rejoicing and telling others, "His grave is empty, He must be alive." No, they were downcast, more confused than ever. In fact, if you read the verses that follow our text, Jesus does appear to them while these two disciples are sharing with the others what they have seen and heard. And everyone, when Jesus appears to them, everyone thinks He's a ghost. Just because they knew about Jesus does not mean they knew Him. Just because they could see Him does not mean they could see who He was. And many people today know who Jesus is in the sense that they have heard about Him, they've read about Him, they've seen movies about Him, and yet they wouldn't recognize Him if they saw Him. Their eyes have not been opened. Knowing about Him and knowing Him are two different things. So, second point this morning I want you to look at is that Jesus uses the Scriptures to open our eyes. Verse 27 says, "Beginning with Moses and all the prophets, He explained to them what was said in all the Scriptures concerning Himself." Now, while we don't know what specific passages Jesus used, we know He explained how all the teachings and prophecies pointed to Him and to the events of His sufferings and His resurrection. Many people will try to tell you who Jesus is. They will tell you He's one of many ways to get to heaven. They will tell you He was a good man, a good prophet, a good teacher, or a rebel who denied and defied the Roman authorities. But apart from a knowledge that comes only from a study of the Word of God, you will never have a proper understanding of who Jesus really is. Romans 10:17 says, "Faith comes by hearing," but what? "Hearing by the Word of God." If you know any names associated with classical music, you have probably heard the name Joshua Bell. Joshua Bell is one of the greatest violinists in the world today. The New York Times said, "Joshua Bell stands in no one's shadow when it comes to playing the violin." On January the 12th, 2007, he took part in an experiment that had been organized by the Washington Post. He started playing incognito at about 7:45 in the morning during rush hour in an arcade outside a Washington, D.C. subway station. He was dressed in a baseball cap, blue jeans, and a t-shirt. He pulled out his Gibson EX Huberman, a handcrafted 1713 Stradivarius, which cost $3.5 million. He threw a couple of dollars and some change in the case, and he played for 45 minutes. He covered 6 classical pieces, including 2 by Bach. And in the 45 minutes the master musician played, only 7 people stopped to listen. About 20 gave him money, but went on about their business. He collected $32. When he finished playing and the silence took over, no one noticed. No one applauded, and there was no call for an encore. No one knew this was Joshua Bell, one of the best musicians in the world. Now, one of the possible conclusions from that experiment is this. If we don't have a moment to stop and listen to one of the best musicians in the world playing some of the best music ever written on one of the best handcrafted instruments ever made by man, how many other things are we missing? Many saw the resurrected Jesus, but did not really see Him for who He was. They didn't understand what all this meant. So back to the two disciples. Jesus gave them the greatest Bible study ever. And through the Scriptures, He opened their eyes to the truth of who Jesus really was. Now, this was a sit down, relax, and make yourself at home kind of dinner. We used to have those. We'd come in the evening and sit around the dinner table together. This was before cell phones and texting and sports every night. We'd sit around the table together and we would talk about our day, kids included, and we would listen to each other. Someone would say something silly and we'd make jokes about it for 20, 30 minutes. It was fun, just being together, talking, sharing, and listening. I'm sure many of you remember those days too. Maybe some of you for the first time are enjoying those kind of moments now. But it was that kind of dinner that these two disciples were having with Jesus. And a funny thing happened at that dinner. When it finally clicked, all these teachings that Jesus was bringing to life for them, when it clicked, when they got it, when they recognized Him, He disappears. It's over. That's it. That's the end, folks. You've had some of those moments, I'm sure. A concert, a reunion with an old friend, a class, maybe even a sermon. And when it was over, you couldn't believe it. You didn't want it to end. You wanted more. Well, last of all then, notice their response. Once they recognized Him, they had to share this good news about Him. Can you imagine the excitement they must have felt? They said to one another, did not our hearts burn within us while He was speaking to us on the road and while He was explaining the Scriptures to us? Their encounter with Jesus had been emotional. It had stirred them on the inside. It had moved their very hearts. Studying and coming to an understanding of what God's Word means, especially concerning Jesus, still touches the heart. That's what happened on the day of Pentecost. When Peter stood up with the other 11 and explained to the crowd what all this meant, they were cut to the heart. Once these two disciples were so moved, they had to share everything with the others. That very hour, dark as it was, remember, they told Jesus it was getting late. Come on in, spend the night with us, have some dinner. That very hour, dark as it was, late as it was, dangerous as the road back to Jerusalem was, they went back to Jerusalem. And they shared how they had seen Jesus. He was risen. He was alive. They just ate dinner with Him. And He just taught them so much. They got it. It was all so clear to them now. And they wanted everyone to have the reassurance and the hope and the restored faith and the excitement and the joy of knowing our Savior lives. The change that took place in their lives has been described like this. Their lives prior to this moment were like smoldering fire that gives no light, just smoke to cloud things up. But once they came into the presence of the risen Lord, their hearts were ablaze. A burning fire gives light for all to see. And they saw, understood, and believed. All because of the risen Lord. Jesus' victory became their restoring hope. It became the anchor of their lives. And I'm here to tell you this morning, it can be all of that for you too. All who have experienced the risen Savior should be moved with similar emotions, regardless of what's going on in the world around us. Oh, do you know Jesus is alive? If not, spend some time in the Word of God. Don't just read it. Study it. We will be out and about again. And if you haven't already, you find a church home that teaches and preaches the Word of God to you and to your family. And if you have come to understand Jesus as more than just a character in the Bible, as more than just a historical figure, more than a teacher or a rebel, but you see Him for who He is, the Son of the living God and your risen Savior, then surrender your life to His calling this morning. Verse 47 of our text says, repentance and the forgiveness of sins will be preached in His name to all nations. If you'd like to make a decision to follow Christ, your risen Savior, call us, text or email us. We'd love to share with you from God's Word where His will is leading you. And trust me, after you do, after you see Jesus for who He really is, you will also want to share it with others. For those of you who have and are part of this church body, thank you. We love you. We love one another. And our arms are open wide to welcome others to join us and make this your church home. So, what's our takeaway? It's a question, really. Ask yourself this question. Do I know about Jesus, or do I really know Jesus? Father God, what a glorious day we celebrate. Oh, we are celebrating it much different than I think anybody would have imagined a few months ago, that this is how Easter Sunday would be for us. But it is what it is, and You are still God, and You are still reaching out to us through Your Word to teach us through the Scriptures that Your Son is risen from the dead. We serve a risen Savior. Father, I pray that that message has pricked the hearts of many today. And I pray that many will do something about it. That they will study Your Word and see further what Your will for their life is. We pray, Father, that MCC will be the church home that many folks need us to be. And we need for each other to be. Whatever our decisions, however we have been moved this morning, bless those decisions. Guide us forward this morning. And we will continue as always to give You the glory and the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.